The Demon Seed.
Walker, you must be mistaken.
It's here.
Come on down here and help us.
Demon Seed.
Paranormal existence.
You mean to say you came here purposely?
The first move in the great conspiracy had been made.
Friends, welcome back to another episode of the Demon Seed Podcast. Once again, Reese has decided not to arrive. Mike is having some issues with his technology, and therefore it's left to me, Uncle John, to entertain you. And of course I will, as much as I can, within the limited means I have. These will probably involve me talking shit for at least 7 to 15 minutes until Mike appears. Reminiscing over the 1980s, talking about memories. Memories, of course, memories are great things, things we all enjoy. The idea of thinking of Molly Slocum on a slide, or perhaps Beryl Reed sitting next to a piano, even Ian Lavender of Dad's Army fame. Each wonderful image stored in our memories, allowing us to express ourselves in ways we could never imagine. Tonight, I thought I'd talk to you about literature. Yes, of course. Literature. Books, writing, information. The freedom of the mind to express oneself through words. We all enjoy a good book. A good Dickens before bed. A joke, of course. Crude. Sexual. But nonetheless a joke. So let me begin tonight's episode with this journey into the world of literature. I've chosen some of my favourite books, which I will talk to you about repeatedly until Mike arrives. Before I do that, I'll just check in to see if Mike has... Nope, hasn't picked up the message yet. Well, in that case, welcome everyone to Book Club. At least at this point, if you could play some gentle music to recreate the style of a introductory theme, that would be very handy. I'll give you a 2-second pause to find something, cut something, and put something in. Here we go. Good evening, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Book Club. That's right, the book program where we look at books. Whether they're geography manuals, sexy books, or comics. We're happy to take aboard any form of literature and discuss it. Tonight is no different. I have some wonderful pieces of information that I've picked up and I'm ready to talk about them. Help me. No one's here. Help me. Some of the people pay for this. Book Club tonight sees a cavalcade of some wonderful, wonderful pieces of literature that have come out of the past month, ranging from science fiction to crime mystery and into the world of spies and espionage. So let's start with tonight's special guest, David Emtage. David Emtage, 57-year-old writer from Hull, who's been writing for over 6 months now, and his latest book... It's a wonderful, wonderful spy thriller. Help me. Help me. His latest book is a wonderful spy thriller out on Penguin Publishing. David, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Great to have you here, David. Your new book is absolutely fantastic, I must say. Little Jimmy Wilcox, The Story of the Spy Boy. Wonderful, wonderful book.
Thanks.
How long did it take you to write, David?
About a week.
About a week. Well, it's very good. For people who haven't read the book, I can obviously give you a rough idea of the book with this reading of the Pop's Playtime. Pop's Playtime. Remembering stuff. Pop's Playtime was a puppet. It was a fucking puppet called Pop. Used to spit on the screen and write his name. David, your new book, Little Jimmy Wilcox's Adventures in Spies, Espionage, Thrillers, James Bond. Described by the Daily Mail as a wonderful read, gripping from start to finish. A teenage boy who's been kidnapped by a mysterious businessman called Carlton Palmer finds out he's not, in fact, the person he thought he was, and he's actually a genetically engineered battle droid engineered to kill his parents, who are, in fact, sleeper agents for the Communist Party. David, a wonderful premise and a fantastic sounding book. I was gripped from the very first page. Some of the illustrations are fantastic. Tell me, what made you come up with the idea for the book?
Basically, I grew up in Swindon.
Well, David, that's fantastic. And I'm quite sure the book will go from strength to strength. The book's available now on Amazon Publishing and will be coming out as an audiobook later this year. Moving on now to the second part of the programme, science fiction features. Lisa, if you could play some form of science fiction music for this bit, just to fill up a bit of time before Mike gets here.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Next up tonight, science fiction. Science fiction, of course, is one of the most intriguing realms of the literature world, often pushed aside by critics as being nothing but fluff. But tonight's book is a journey into the mind of one of the most fantastic science fiction writers in the world. Dorothy Wilcox is 97 years old and has been writing since he was 3. His latest book, the 700th to be published since he was born, is no different to the rest of them. Jimmy Spaceman, one of the most intriguing science fiction books I've written in years, is out this week on Penguin Publishing. And with me in the studio now is Timothy Wilcox. Timothy, great to have you here.
Thanks, mate. I'm really glad you got me here. What with me being 97 and all that, it's very hard to get out of bed. Just making a cup of tea is very hard. You know, there's nobody around, is there, to help us? And sometimes, when the electricity goes off, it's very hard to even force myself to get up. So getting here today, I'm on my bike. Took a lot.
Thanks, Timothy. Your book, absolutely wonderful journey into the mind of a space pilot who clearly has an adventure unlike any other I've read in any science fiction book. I've read over 10, 12 to be precise. Some of them didn't even have pictures. That's the sort of person I am. You've written a book that certainly does take us on a journey of the mind. Let me give the listeners who haven't had the chance to read the book yet a brief outline of the story. A space pilot travelled further into deep space than any other human in history. A fantastic premise. He awakes from cryosleep to discover his ship has a sinister invader on board, and that he's ripped out the anus of his co-pilot, Gareth Hopkins. A wonderful premise for the story there. Tell me, how did you come up with the idea for this?
It was very basic. I've seen a couple of films before, Alien 2, Predator. And I thought nobody's ever ripped somebody's anus out in a film before. Noel's house party, Noel's Christmas presents, Noel Edmonds in general. That one episode where there was a bloke who was really ill, and he was a big fan of the Hollies. So they got They got the hollies to play in his back garden. Remember that? Remember that? If you can't remember it, Google it. Then once you've seen it, it'll be your memory.
Anyway, so the book is out on Penguin Publishing today, and retails at $15.99. Will be available in Argos, Tesco, Sainsbury's, Waitrose. Oh, we're now in Worldco. GG Meek, or was it AG Meek? Can't remember. Clark's. Shops. Shops. Moving on now to the final segment of the programme. Crime thrillers are something always wanted a rubber dinghy as a kid. Remember going to Barry Island and there was someone there in a dinghy, orange, blue, only a cheap one. On the side, it had the word sea serpent too. always wanted a sea serpent too. Never seen a sea serpent one or three. Fuck me. What has this podcast become? Ian, the book is a fantastic, fantastic journey into the world of crime. Hard-hitting crime novels obviously are something that have been a mainstay of the paperback for years and years, but yours is clearly a fantastic book. It's taking the literary world by storm. The literary world by storm. It's great to have you in the studio here tonight. And for the listeners, I'm here with author and beekeeper Donald Sutherland, not to be confused with the actor. Donald, great to have you in the studio.
Thanks. It's great to be here. Thanks. It's great to be here.
To have an American in the studio is very, 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 very exciting. Very rarely do we come across American authors who write books based in the UK, especially crime thrillers. What you being familiar with the FBI, the CIA, it was very surprising you decided to write a gritty crime thriller. Tell me a bit more about the book.
That's really neat. I mean, you can read the back of the book, it'll tell you a bit more about.
Of course.
Hardman Revenge, great new book out on Penguin Publishing. For those who haven't read the book yet, I'll let you know it's a hard-hitting urban crime. A northern hardman from a violent estate is tracked down. A northern hardman from a violent estate who's tracked down the man who murdered his brother, Carl Dowland, by pretending to be from a local church, collecting money for some new windows. A great premise for a crime thriller there. And I wish you the best of luck with the book.
Jeez, that.
Fuck me, this podcast shit. Reese, put some music over that bit. I'll beef it up a bit.
Well, no one else has turned up 12 minutes in, and obviously I've just sort of said a load of shit. I mean, what is this podcast? You know, people do these true crime things, don't they? Or they do, you know, ones about, I don't know, rock climbing or Wim Hof, that bloke who can hold his breath. And then this one is you, whoever you are, you know, just listening to this. I mean, at least when there's a minimum of two of us, one of us can hit the metal. We can do the same things in a different, or this, I'm just sort of clearly filling time. I mean, I can just wait for a bit longer, but don't really know what else to do. Gazza, released an album. Remember that? Help me. Gazza, everybody remembers Fog on the Tyne. Fog on the Tyne is all mine, all mine. Fog on the Tyne is all mine. Who remembers, though? Geordie Boys by Gazza. We are the Geordie Boys.
Reese, if you get 5 minutes, maybe you could intercut a bit of Gaz's Geordie boys over the top. I mean, in the meantime, I'm just going to play a bit over the top. Hang on a minute. Help me. Help me. Please. Please. Help me. Right. 50 fucking out. <laughs> 15 minutes in. No one else has turned up. It's like when you're the subject of bullying in the 80s. And you tell everyone you're going to go out roller skating. And they all say they'll be there. And when you get there, it's just you at Maskell's sitting there waiting. And you know that none of them were going to turn up to come roller skating with you. Put some sad music on, Reese. You just stand outside Maskell's, which for those of you who didn't grow up in Newport in the 80s, Maskell's was a roller rink where basically you could go roller skating whilst people took heroin around the edges. My moderately successful pop group wrote a song about it. I didn't get to number one. That's what this is like. Yeah, we'll go roller skating at Maskell's on Saturday. Just meet us there at 11:30. All right, see you there. And you get there with roller skates that you got for Christmas. They're not even very good ones. You know, shit ones from Argos with them shiny plastic wheels instead of the soft rubbery ones. You stand outside and it's raining. You think Leon will be here in a minute. Gary will be down as well with Rog. And you look at your watch. Didn't have mobile phones. Mobile phones. Didn't have mobile phones in those days. And then 5 minutes later, I'll just give me another five before I go in. I don't want the bigger kids to bully me. And the rain starts coming down a bit harder. And nothing happens. So you, you stand there for another 10 minutes. And they don't turn up. You start to feel hungry. You wonder if Gary and Roger are going to come or if Leon's going to bring his bowers down. And then it's 12:30 and nothing's happened. You think maybe I should just go home. So you walk back home in the rain. You didn't even get to put your roller skates on. You get back home and your mum says, "You're back home early, love." And you say, "Yeah." She says, "Do you have a good time, love?" You say, "Yeah." You go up to your bedroom and you put your Spectrum 48K on and you just play Manic Miner. But your mind's not really on getting past Eugene's Lair, which was one of the hardest levels on Manic Miner. You just wonder why Leon, Gary and Roy didn't turn up. And on Monday when you go into school, they kick the shit out of you in the toilet. That's what this podcast is like. Every week I turn up with my roller skates and I stand outside Maskell's waiting to have a go on the ramp with the big kids. Nobody turns up. So I go back into my room and I play Manic Miner, staring at the screen, pressing PV and J, forwards, backwards and jump, trying to get over those bits of, you remember, on Manic Miner, the bits of track that crumble away, and you can jump over them. Nothing happens. Don't matter. Be better next week. 18 minutes in, nothing's happened. Right, hang on a minute. Mike, I've just got a message off Mike. Still about, yeah, he's just said, still about, might be able to get this sorted in 10. No problem. Here now, I'll say that. And then we can, you know, I can fill up an hour, hopefully. We'll see what happens. Right, so
obviously, if you're still listening, God help you. I know this really is scraping the bottom of the barrel, isn't it? Well, let's have a bit of drink. That'll fill a bit of... Reese, can you play some music over the top here if you can?
Radio 1 Roadshow. For those of you who live in the UK, I'm going to make it sound like we've got a massive listenership outside the UK. I know there is that bloke from America who melted a diamond through science, and that's not a lie. But the rest of you are all pretty much stuck on this shitty island with me. Anyway, who remembers Jackie Brambles? Jackie Brambles. Radio 1 Roadshow. Came to Wales quite a lot. I remember once we went up to Barry Island. I've mentioned that twice in this podcast. Not like that's going to make any difference. All the content's shit. I could just keep saying the same word over and over again. You'd still be stuck with this. Went up there. The Manic Street Preachers were doing a song. And Sophie Lawrence, who was in EastEnders, she played Frank's daughter. She did a song as well. Love's Unkind. Anyway... At the time, Sophie Lawrence was... help me. This podcast is shit. Sophie Lawrence was big news at the time. She had a really big storyline in EastEnders where she had a boyfriend who was an artist and he sculpted a statue of her. The thing is, he sculpted a topless statue. Put some music over the top of this, Reese, is dramatic. He sculpted a topless statue of a... Frank saw it and went fucking apeshit, smashed it with a hammer, ruined their relationship. Don't know what happened after that, but now I'm thinking of the time that Frank Butcher turned up at Pat's house with nothing on but a spinning electric bow tie. If you don't know what I'm talking about, then why the fuck have you been listening to this for 21 minutes anyway? If you want to know what I mean, just type in Frank Butcher naked spinning bow tie on the internet. Just do that for me. Just do that for me. Fuck, please, podcast.
So that's... 21 minutes in there, reminiscent of the Soak Solid Crew song, 21 seconds to go. Obviously, that was 21 seconds. This is 21 minutes and 54 seconds. So there's a there's a slight variation on that. Not a problem, though. Not a problem. Still going strong. What else can I think of? Let's have a look. Marge Proops.
Who remembers Marge Proops? Agony Aunt. In the tabloids. Hang on a minute, I want a bit of drink. It's the beer that helps, really. Marge Proops. I'm just going to do a list of names now. Reese, put some music over the top. I just can't just keep fucking music running over the top. Marge Proops. Leonard Pierce. Les Battersby. Gillian Tailforth. Adolf Hitler. Miriam Margolyes. Jamie Teakston. Or is it Theakston? Never quite sure. Roland Rat. Peter Duncan. Goldie the dog. Not the drummer bass artist, but I'll put him in as well. Goldie. Pam Ayres. Pam Ayres. Betty Boothroyd. Teresa Gorman, Eurosceptic. Alfred from Batman. Bobby from Home and Away. Just remembering that episode after Bobby had died. And remember a mother was having a breakdown because she couldn't deal with the death of Bobby. She was in the diner, Elf's diner. She had a breakdown. She looked at the fridge and she saw Bobby's head. Google that if you don't know what I'm talking about. Like I said earlier, if you're still listening to this, it's highly likely. Highly likely you need more fucking help than I do turning up to do this. Anyway. Fucking hell. Gonna carry on with the list of names now. Ian Duncan Smith. Lenny Bennett. Janet Ellis. Paul Daniels. Paul Daniels. George Michael. And the other one. And everyone gives him a bit of a hard time for being in Wham but not being as famous as George Michael afterwards. Andrew Ridgely, that's the one. To tell the truth, he's probably got quite a good deal out of that. Probably got a decent house somewhere in Hertfordshire and a couple of sports cars. And I think he's married to one of Pepsi and Shirley, or probably both of them. They can do what they like these days, pop stars. There's another one, Bono. Elton John. Oliver Haar, Morton Harkett, Pal and Mags. I don't know their surnames. Apologies if you're listening, lads. Morton was obviously the heartthrob. You were just a sideline to him. We all know that. Talented though you were. It was his chiseled cheekbones that really got the fans. I should know. I had to look at a poster of him every day in my youth. My oldest sister was heavily into them. Micro memories. And she had a clock radio tape player one Christmas, which she used to set as an alarm before school. And every morning, she put a pirated copy of the Haar album on to go off at about 6:45 in the morning. It did my fucking tits in. And one day I went into the room, I got the tape out, and underneath the tape, there's a little pad that helped the tape play. You've all seen it if you're over 40. If you're not, you shouldn't be listening to this shit anyway. Anyway, micro memories. I ripped the tape out. I pulled a bit of foam out and put the tape in, hoping I'd sabotage it and fuck it up. Nothing happened. Spent another 3 months listening to fucking Aha. Take on me. Fuck off. Still going strong now. 26 minutes in. I think I'm going to have a heart attack. So, if you're enjoying the podcast, why not follow us on Twitter? At Demon Seed Pod. By doing so, you can obviously send scathing reviews of this horrible bucket of shit that we dose onto you every week. Some of you, of course, pay for it. I really feel sorry for you, but you know, you've got to take the rough with the smooth. This really one is really is the worst out of all of them. So apologies for that. But the quicker I get this done, the quicker I can go and eat something. So, you know, I'll keep on going until Mike turns up. I'll just check the, let's have a little look in here now. Yeah, nothing yet. So hopefully he should be with us in a bit. 27 minutes in, which isn't bad for a help me, what I call a one-man show. Imagine this, live in a theatre. Fucking hell, who'd pay money for this? Not even the bloke who listens to this podcast and then goes into the room and recites what we've just said to his own son. I was just trying to have a sleep. Not even him. He wouldn't even pay for this. Help me.
I don't really know why I'm doing this. I tell the truth, you know. I've been here for about 28 minutes. And now's happened, you know. I've been here for like so long. You know, I can't feel below my waist. That's a fact. You know, it takes it out of you. Sitting here waiting for like the other people to turn up. It doesn't help, you know, when you've got one fella in Canada swimming about in a fucking swimming pool
The other fella's like, I don't know what he's doing, drinking or something, you know. But I don't mind. Something to do keeps you busy. But besides that, you know, you just sit at home watching, you know, bargain-loving Brits abroad or something like that, which I don't mind watching that. You know, it gives you a few ideas. The idea of, you know, fucking off out of this country, getting out to Spain or somewhere like that, you know, and having a proper time out there, you know, getting out and getting a 42-inch TV in a caravan in Spain. That sounds, you know, without learning a word of the language, you know, spending some time out there. That's not the sort of thing I like to do. I can't, sadly can't do that. They took my passport off us after what happened. Didn't mean to kill him. Still going strong. Michael Elphick, adding to the list of names. Ben Kingsley, did a really good role in Gandhi. A lot of people don't realise, if you watch Gandhi, the film, Fred Elliott from Coronation Street's in it as well, playing a South African. And then in 1987, Ian left home and got a job at the age of 16. He became a milkman in Hull. And for the first 6 months, things were going exceptionally well. Found his own flat, started to make friends in the neighbourhood, and became a highly revered milkman in the area. Then in June of 87, something happened to Ian that would change his life forever. On one frosty morning in June...
Would it be frosty in June, you prick?
Ian had problems starting his milk float, and in a rush to get the milk to his now trustworthy customers, Ian pulled over to the side of the road, even though he was having problems starting the milk float. Got out to have a look. Of course, Ian had forgotten how to use the handbrake, and he ran himself over with the milk float, crushing his spine, leaving him without the use of his legs. Ian was sadly not covered by his union and left on the side of the road for 15 years. Peter Shilton. Football. Football. Blue is the colour. Football is the game. That's a song they sing, isn't it? What's the other one? I'm forever blowing bubbles. And there's the other team as well. When you walk through the night, hold your head up high, you'll never walk alone, that's one. I don't know any other football songs, do you? Maybe you could just sing one for a bit. I got fuck all else to do. Thirty-one minutes in. Just going to check now to see if Mike's had any luck coming back to us. Yeah, just having a look. I'll just message him. If you come back in now, we can finish it off. Let's have a look. I'll just send him this now. Just talk amongst yourselves. And when I say talk amongst yourselves, there's no one here. I'm in a fucking badly lit room with a microphone talking to myself, aren't I? So if you come back now, Mike, we can do 10 minutes and finish it. That's fine. And that's perfect. Perfect. That's done. That'll fill up a bit of time. So Christmas is coming up. That's a laugh, isn't it? What are you going to get for Christmas? Why am I asking myself that? I'm sitting in my fucking microphone. Christmas memories. Tins of roses. Coronation Streets. No, they weren't called Coronation Streets. That was a TV show. I'll just find something to read now. Hang on a minute. Santa, I've been good this year. Wacky news. I'll do wacky news. Right, hang on a minute. Right, wacky news. Here we go. Wacky news. This strange, odd and weird news stories. This will fill up a bit of time. vegan who failed to deal with mouse infestation and fed them instead is fined by Corp. What are you news? Football match played despite claim one goal was bigger than the other. They certainly know how to write these things, don't they? Worth first place. Cheating scandal rocks competitive fishing world. And what they've done with that headline there, very cleverly. They said worth first place. And of course, they spelt place. P-L-A-I-C-E. Like the type of fish. Wacky as fuck. Moving on with wacky news. This indie band is hoping to sell a one-off album for £1 million. Here's why. That's not wacky. That's just a fucking stupid business idea. Swan on Train Tracks holds up rush hour commuters for an hour. Wacky as fuck. Lidl told to melt copycat chocolate bunnies. Some chocolate news there. US heaviest pumpkin record is smashed. No, not very good. Truck hurtles into sea after brakes fail. That's not wacky. That's just fucking sad. So that's the wacky news roundup there. And just waiting now on Mike turning up. Hopefully he will arrive after a while. We know that sometimes he gets a bit caught up with his drinking schedule, and Reese obviously gets tied up with his swimming pool, getting all them, you know, bits of stones and bricks out of it after that terrible storm that struck him. Nonetheless, you know, there are things that we can do that'll keep us busy until they turn up. One of my favourite things that I like to talk about quite often is the film Threads. Now, if you've not seen it, don't worry. You can get a copy on DVD these days. I think it might even be available on BritBox, which is a very popular streaming service that contains some of the best output of the BBC over the past 50 years or so. Great, great streaming service. And of course, Threads is on there, which is what I describe as a romantic comedy of sorts. It's about Sheffield, which is a very popular city in the north of England. And it's about family getting themselves together. You know, a young couple are getting married, getting a new place. The husband and wife, the parents are getting on with their sort of later years with dealing with the ins and outs of everyday life. But of course, looming on top of this is the threat of a nuclear war, which is very, very relevant to the current times we live in. And of course, as you're watching them build their lives, of course, within a few moments, they're completely smashed by a fucking nuclear bomb dropping on them, which I wish would happen to me right now, because there's fuck all happening with this podcast, I'll tell you that much. Anyways, the short of it is they all get burned up by a nuclear bomb. The people that survive are all severely skanked up. Some of them die of radiation poisoning, but others do struggle to get on. And I clearly remember one scene where some people wandering through the countryside and there's nothing left but a dead sheep, and they try and eat some of that. In many ways, it's like listening to this, isn't it? I mean, if you got 36 minutes in, it is the equivalent to eating a highly radiated dead sheep after a nuclear war, isn't it? In some ways, exactly the same. Anyway, I won't spoil it for you, but basically the end of Threads is a woman screaming with a dead baby in her hands. 7 out of 10, great film. Anyway, moving on. You know, what else can I think of to say? I don't really know. Just sit here for a while. Contemplate my life choices, why I decided to do this in the first place, and why I've really driven myself to carry on with this. But it doesn't matter, because there's only another 20 minutes left before it stops, and then, of course, you can turn it off and you can just forget about it. You know, if it is too much at the moment, if you are near a lake or a river, you know, I'm not stopping you from just popping some heavy stones into your pockets and just walking into it. You know, they say that it's very peaceful, you know, the idea of just letting yourself go in the water, don't they? You know, I'm not going to try it, you know, but you're welcome to if you like. It's your choice, mate. But I know for a lot of people, this podcast is the equivalent to sort of submerging yourself in an ice cold lake, just waiting for the life to drift out of you, isn't it? Anyways, I'll just see if Mike sent a message. Let's just thought for a moment he might be turning on us, kidding myself there, kid. Nothing back from him at the moment, so I'll just hold on for a bit now. Do you remember as a kid when you had a BMX? That was great, wasn't it? You know, used to get out there, and if you're lucky, you'd have a bit of spare cash to get your rally burning, and you take it down to Halfords. You get a couple of those wing mirrors on the front, wouldn't you? You know, you put them on and you'd be able to see your mates behind you. And if you had a couple of extra quid, you'd get spokey dokies, them things that rattled round the wheels, put them on to make it sound a bit like a motorbike until obviously you reach too much speed and the centrifugal force stopped them from clicking inside the wheel. They just stuck to the edge of the wheel. Of course, if you had loads of money, you'd get stump pegs, wouldn't you? They put them on the back and you'd give your mate a backy. We all remember backies, don't we? You know, in some ways, it would be great if we could bring them back. You know, a loads of men in their 40s in Stone Island jackets and bucket hats, you know, riding around selling cocaine off of rally burners, giving each other backies would be a welcome return to a golden age in many ways. In other ways, it would just be fucking stupid. But I've got to think of something to say for the next 20 minutes, because obviously I've been here for a while now and I've been through my science fiction book report. I've done the bit about fucking going roller skating and no one turning up because you were bullied as a kid, which is very equivalent to doing this fucking podcast. And now I'm just talking about, you know, riding a BMX round as a 40-year-old drug dealer in a Stone Island jacket. But I think there's something very special, and there's a very special place in my heart for people that wear Stone Island, you know, and I think if you're going to put that effort in, then, you know, fucking more power to you. I did have a mate in the late 90s, early 2000s who actually, he took the time to go on a website and get a load of fake Stone Island patches made from one of them websites in China. And what he did then, he went to C&A. He bought a load of snow coats from the ski. Remember, C&A used to have that amazing ski section. Nobody I knew ever went skiing, but they did have a great ski section there. And of course, he went there and he went to Primark as well, bought all the winter coats up, and he sewed on the Stone Island badges. And of course, then went around the pubs of Newport selling these fake Stone Island jackets for about 100 quid. And he made several thousand pounds off of that. Funnily enough, I had another mate who worked for Marks and Spencers. I won't be saying any names because he's still alive. And if he gets found out for this, he'll get in a lot of trouble. But he very cleverly worked for Marks and Spencers. And of course, you get a staff discount on all the meats. So he took advantage of the staff discount by just stealing a load of meat and bringing it into the pub and selling it on to people. And I must say, I was done for spare ribs for fucking 6 months off the back of that. Fucking sound. Have you got any stories about people stealing? Why not tweet us at the Demon Seed Podcast and let us know? Obviously, don't divulge any names unless you want to grass somebody up. But if you do want to grass somebody up, alternately, why not let us know as well? You know, just tweet at the Demon Seed Podcast, put the name of the person who you want to grass up, and put the crime they've done on. We'll get in contact with the authorities for you, and of course, we'll take care of it from there. And if they do get banged up for a long time, you know, just chuck us a couple of quid for sorting it for you. Always happy to get involved in the community, me. Anyways, still here. 41 minutes in without anybody else turning up. And looks like it's not really going to go any further, is it? So don't worry about it if you're worrying for the others to turn up, or if you're looking for the same old routine of, you know, the Dad's Army stuff and the stuff to do with, that sitcom with the old bloke and his son. What was that called? Steptoe and Son. If you're looking for some of that, you're not going to get that tonight. What you're actually going to get is just somebody in a room, badly lit, not very well ventilated, just saying things repeatedly over and over again and until he reaches at least the hour mark, although he is contemplating stopping that in a minute. But, you know, if Reese again could drop some music in here, I could just do a list of things from the 80s over the top in a quite sort of solemn way. And that, if you could put some echo over it as well, that would fill up a bit of time, wouldn't it? So let's have a look at that. Here we go.
Etch-a-sketch. Kids riding a bike into school with a bald back tyre and an exercise book in their back pocket. Screaming, "Fuck you, Mr. Witherington," and then driving out of the school again, not to be seen until the end of term. Kids lighting matches, doing genies out their back gardens on Saturday afternoons. The ice cream van playing its music as you wish you had the money for the 99 with the flake. hot summer day, sitting in the back of your mate's dad's car with them PVC seats that are burning your legs, but he's giving you the lift somewhere so you can't complain. Your Uncle Leon's trying to pick up a drain cover, but it's falling on his arms and ripping his fingers off, and he ends up with stubs for arms for the rest of his life. Going to the library, then leaving because it's shit. Your mate having a Scalextric, and you not having one. Simon says, the game. Remember that battery power game? You put it in, and a series of lights flash and beep, and you've got to recreate it. Beano comic, Danzy comic, Woman's Own magazine, The Problem Page. Watching TV with a small metal aerial on top, I'm not getting a very good reception, especially when it rains. Christmas. And having the special biscuits with two layers in them. And eating all the best ones off the top first, then going underneath to eat the best ones underneath. Getting a box of After Eights and put the little paper envelopes back in after you've eaten the best ones. And there's nothing left for your dad and he's fucked off. Sitting by a 2-bar electric fire. Cat food in the tin. Liquids dripping down your arm to go up your sleeve. But can't be fucked to wash it off. Alternately, the crunchy cat food, the type that comes in a box. Lying on the floor as a kid after watching a war film and pretending you're a prisoner of war and rolling over and eating some of the dried cat food because it's the sort of thing they do in a film. Getting a copy of Robocop on VHS that's been pirated by your mate, but the tracking's all off. You can't really see it. Mike's coming through now, and he's really fucked off. Here we go.
Hang on. I think I can sense Mike coming through. I can feel him coming through. My eyes are hurting. Here we go. Mike's coming through now. This is going to be good. Just 15 minutes. Fucking hell, 45 minutes. 45 minutes of this shit. One of the others is turning up. Michael Jackson burning his hair, doing a Pepsi commercial. Remember that? Apparently that was the start of his downfall. After he'd done that, he was addicted to painkillers. That's what got him into drugs, and then he lost his shit. I don't know about the stuff to do with kids. I've got no idea if he did that or not. And I probably might get in trouble if I, you know, suggested he did that sort of thing. I don't know. I've never met him.
Then, of course, much later on, the scientist discovered that there was a high probability that anyone who had listened to the Demon Seed podcast was clearly about to be severely damaged. This was proven many years later. All of the listeners did then go on to develop a very, very, very high awareness of repetition. Indeed, some of the listeners started to repeat things themselves, repeating catchphrases from very little known television shows, talking about things like Mr. Chips from catchphrase, even referring to things like Beryl Reed or driving an Austin Allegro. This in turn became a symptom known as Demon Seed Syndrome, which led to the demise of 80% of its listeners. The other 20% are still receiving counselling. The episode that really broke the camel's back would have been somewhere down the line where nobody turned up apart from one of them who just spoke shit for the entire time. Okay, so Mike's just trying to log in now. Let's just have a look. Okay, so there's 12 minutes left. So if we do get him in for the end, we can just do a, you know. I mean, when I say we, I mean myself in a room with bad ventilation and nothing happened. I really am
I'll be massively surprised if anyone gets through this one. This really is the end. Hopefully some of Reese's production techniques have helped Spanish out a bit with a bit of sound, bit of audio, bit of music, but I doubt that very much. I mean, even if he just puts a bit of echo on my voice now and then makes it sound like it's drifting off into nowhere. And as I continue to speak, it sort of did, you know, it sort of pans out and then some music comes in and if Mike does come back, then we can come back to reality. And that again will give something to the podcast to give it an element of something, because it really is just a fucking big old bag of shit at the moment. But we'll get there. I'll keep talking for a bit anyway. Again, nothing's happened. I'll have a look at something else on the internet. That's always a good idea. Here we go. So, yep, nothing's happened just yet. Here we go. Hang on a minute. Oh, I've run out of drink. That doesn't help, does it? Okay, let's have a look at this. I'll just bring up. I'm bringing up the internet now. That's why I've stopped talking again. There might be some sound effects or something that would help here. Let's have a look. What can I look at? Let's have a look. Wacky news again. Just going back into the wacky news now. Haven't done this feature to fill out the podcast yet, have I? Wacky news part two. Amateur taxidermist leaves Facebook users horrified with bizarre rat phone case. Not wacky, just weird. My husband's house cleaning style is disgusting, but he won't stop. Again, not wacky. Brit mum builds luxury woman cave in Australian desert, 9 hours from family home. No, that's, again, not wacky in the least. Let's have a quick look here. Mum shares McMuffin air fryer recipe that tastes exactly the same as No. Kayaker watches jaw-dropping GoPro footage and realizes he's been stalked by a huge... it's just a huge shark. Thumbs up emoji branded inappropriate by Generation Z, but older generations stand by it. That's, again, not wacky. That's nothing. Still no sign of Mike logging in yet. Less than 10 minutes to go. So, you know, if he does turn up, that's great. We can say our farewells and then we can just crack on. No problems there. Again, we'll just hope for the best. And if he doesn't make it, then that's fine. I'll text him just that I'm in the last 5 minutes. Log in to say goodbye, if we can get that. Mike. Welcome, Michael. How are you, Mike? Good news. I started recording 51 minutes ago. There's only 9 minutes left. How do you feel about that?
Why is there 9 minutes to go?
Well, I thought I'd do an hour, and I've just been talking to myself for an hour, unless you want to...
Well, let's go. I'll do 20 minutes.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. I mean, alternatively, we could just say if you just drop in and then drop out again, that's cool, because we could just finish it on that. You know, give them
what they want. Again,
how's it going your end? Well, a bit of stress.
Awful. This is absolutely awful.
any no fun at all, or?
Oh, my, almost zero fun. I'll phone you and tell you about it tomorrow. You won't answer your phone, but I'll anyway, I'm going to answer phone. But I will have told you about it.
Okay, yeah. I'll give you a call about.
In fact, you must call me tomorrow, because I've got news about your father's birthday present as well. So that'll make you call
brilliant.
Me.
Brilliant, yes. Nice one.
I'm not telling you now, because I'll make you call me tomorrow. I can tell you why I'm so stressed today.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So sounds like a plan. It just hit the metal anyway.
Okay. My lovely wife just bought me a cup of coffee. Thank you, Cal.
Lovely. Good lad. That's what it's all about.
Yeah. How are we anyway?
Oh, Yeah, not bad, not bad. I thought I'd get an early start, so I put it on up a 7, and I've just basically made noises over the top, and I've asked. Risu isn't here.
We can do some effects and stuff and make it sound.
Yeah,
I got to say, the stuff you've done on your own, if anything, is better than the stuff you do with me.
It's a fucking travesty. The whole thing is a fucking travesty. It's a complete fucking travesty. So,
and I've been back and forth with old producer Reese trying to explain to him what, you know.
Great news. Well, let them know about the t-shirts, Mike. Obviously, we've sold 19 of the 100 we had made. And
I haven't even got one of those.
I was going to order one, but I keep putting it off, I must say. But let them know.
But then I realised I have to pay twice because they're already costing me a fucking fortune and I'm going to pay more for them.
It's good, isn't it? Let them know the good news, Mike. What's happening with the t-shirts?
We decided to plough some of our huge profits from the Patreons into talk about... Which philosopher was this said the definition of insanity is doing the same thing and expecting a different outcome?
Yeah. Yeah.
So what we've done, because the first t-shirt sold terribly and cost us money, and actually cost us money to put t-shirts on strangers' backs.
Massive amounts of money.
So what we thought we'd do this time is buy some more t-shirts.
Yes.
Well, we've still got 80% of the other ones to sell. Yeah. I hope people will buy these ones.
Yeah.
And then fucking Reese. So I just said, all the people want, right? A couple of designs I reckon that would go well.
Yeah.
I appreciate everyone meeting online and people listen to this as part of the podcast, but fuck them anyway.
Yeah, it's filled up a bit of time.
I said, why not? My wife said the same thing. Why not just get my boys, my wonderful boys, right?
My boys, my wonderful boys. Each one of those being so very, very, very well behaved will deserve a t-shirt. One of you will have it covered in the juice from my loins, the other from the juice of my mouth, and David, for you, the juice from your twin brother. Jill, get the cape, it's time.
It's a great idea. I with Jill, get the cape this time.
Say again. Yeah, good. Yeah.
Then there was
good.
A course. That was the genius advice. This is the genius advice, Muller.
Yeah, good. Very good. Yeah.
This is. I forget.
This was the genius advice, Muller.
Yeah. We got all my boys and whatever. I just said. And then Reese tries to get all fucking arty-farty then with various designs. I said, no, just my boys, my wonderful boys. And then a big boys.
Yeah.
Then a big boys.
Yeah.
My wonderful, then a big boys. Simple. Yeah. I did yellow writing on a black T-shirt, pod colours, boom.
Perfect.
At the bottom, at distant, at Demon Sea Pod, boom. I almost said the proper podcast now.
Perfect.
At Demon Sea Pod, right?
Yeah.
Cue fucking Reese. Now, bear in mind, we went through a six-month project to get to the last shit T-shirt he came up with.
We did.
When he ignored all of our advice, ploughed our cash into a fucking shit T-shirt that no one wants to buy, right?
Yeah.
He then comes up with these random fucking designs. I said, no, just plain. My voice. Yeah. What about this? Yeah. No, just plain. Like I did, like the picture I've sent you, in the colours I said, just that. What about this? The fuck off. What about not that? What about listen to what I'm telling you? Honestly, God. Because he's not, you know what I mean? There's things Reese does well. I don't know what they are. I think sound editing.
Swimming.
Sound editing and swimming, right?
Yeah.
There's things producer Reese doesn't do well, right?
Yeah.
T-shirts is one of them.
Yeah.
Fuck me. You know, if I want to talk to the dead, I'll talk to Doris Stokes, right? I won't go to fucking Phil Neal and ask him what he thinks because it's the wrong person for the job.
Yeah,
I don't know why I said Phil Neal. I don't even watch football, and he played in Liverpool in the '80s.
Micro memories. My mate Simon Oakleton. Primary school, he was a big fan of Liverpool. And he loved Jan Mulby. So one day in art, he got some crayons. And yet Jan Mulby was leaving Liverpool. And he drew a picture of Jan Mulby with a goalpost behind him. And he wrote, "Goodbye, Jan.
and drew a heart on it. And someone said, "Who's Jan Mulby?" And he explained his name was Jan Mulby. And he was a football player. And to this day, he's one of the only football players I know.
I mean, that is...
Jan Mulby.
If that doesn't make these idiots come to Patreon, right? Nothing's going to, is it?
Years later, Simon Oakington.
Oh, yes, Oakington, yes. Yeah.
Okay. Went to the same secondary school as me. And one day he was in the library where you were informed you had to keep quiet. So we created a game called Oakenden where one of you would have to say the name Oakenden and then the next person would have to say it slightly louder. Each time we did it, Oakenden would stand up and look around to see who was calling his name. He never realised there was about 12 of us all hidden around the library saying Oakenden. To this day, he doesn't know who it was. Great game.
You're listening to the Demon Seed podcast. Oh, fuck me. Anyway, so, long story short is, my boys, my wonderful boys. And then we both said the same thing, just like the Frankie Goes to Hollywood Relax t-shirt.
Yes, exactly.
And then he sent something back that looked nothing like the Frankie Goes to Hollywood t-shirt. So not only did I ever send him a drawing that I did and photograph it, to send him a picture of one that looked a bit like the one I mean.
Yeah.
For him to get that through his thick fucking skull.
Great podcast.
We're a great team, the three of us. And that's the best thing about it.
Yeah, I think it's one of the best.
Isn't it, Reese? You be Reese. Isn't it, Reese?
All right, guys. What's happening, lad? So just in a new design for the t-shirt, actually. Do you want to email it over to you? It's got, like Mike said, it's got a big pink picture of the dinosaur on the front. It says podcast is really cool. So it's the same as the one he said, which was my wonderful voice. But it's a big pink picture of the dinosaur with the word podcast is really cool on the front. Anyway, just an idea. And it only cost $9,000 to get.
You already booked him, yeah? Just to confirm, producer Reese.
I booked 900 t-shirts.
Well done. Brilliant.
They're all made from silk, so they only cost a cost. They're only £79 each. But we can put it up to 89.
We can bang them off for 80 quid. Don't worry about it.
We've got loads of listeners, so they'll sell really, really quick.
Yeah.
On a lighter
business
cards going,
all right, producer Reese?
Yes, I got loads of leaves in the pool, so I can't stay too long.
No problem.
So I will be swimming later. Got a fair speedos. That's how you fucking put it. So I'll be swimming later.
All right, mate. No problem. I'll see you later,
guys.
Care, producer Reese.
Tell her, guys.
Hey,
t-shirt.
As Reese said, just update on the t-shirts there. So that's always a bit of fun. You could have a laugh.
Big time.
Mary the Punk. Help me. Brian Blessed. My Family and Other Animals. The character called Spiro. It's something to do with Gerald Darrell or something. Used to like the theme tune. Watched it on a Sunday.
Oh, I do love a theme tune, John. Oh, of course.
What?
Oh, no, we haven't mentioned today.
What?
Let me think.
Lansbury.
Yeah.
Lansbury, of course, finally gone. 79 years in the game.
Forget Angela Lansbury. Wonderful. Consummate actress.
Consummate.
Of course, played Elvis Presley's mother in the film. I believe it was G.I. Blue, John. Might have been Blue Hawaii. But of course, the funny thing is, John, she played Elvis Presley's mother in the film, but she was only 10 years older than Presley himself, having been born in 1925, of course, and Elvis born in 1935.
But the acting ability of the woman was able.
played years beyond her range.
Beyond question. Beyond question, John.
Beyond question. Lansbury herself, a fantastic actress, of course, born with three tits, managed to hide one of them away from most of the filming. She evidently very few people in Hollywood knew about the third tit, but of course she did get that role in that fantastic science fiction film Total Recall, which reinvented her career.
Yes. Well, of course, let's not forget the wonderful dear departed Ian Fleming, of course. Based the character Scaramanga on Lansbury as a tip of the hat to yes.
Of course, being himself a member of the Secret Service.
Really, John. Scaramanga, of course, was simply called Lansbury.
Of course,
but the rank organization, of course, insisted on changing it
Cracking breast, Dominic.
St. James, then.
Lansbury, of course, had been, for the first part of her life, seen it as a curse to be born with these three breasts.
Oh,
of course,
yes.
Moving to Hollywood as a young child from England, a very young girl, picked up by the agents, and they recognised these three breasts as a unique talent.
One has to have a thing, John. One has to have a thing, whether it be stinking of piss, whether it be stinking of shit, whether it be the third nipple. One has to have a thing. One has to stand out from the crowd, John. And that's very, very much what Lansbury did with her third nipple.
Yeah, of course. Naturally. I mean, the ability to play a woman with two nipples, but secretly with three, was a fantastic piece of acting. A wonderful, wonderful piece of acting.
Yes.
And there was the ability to hide the breast was something you by simply holding a breath, she could suck the middle breast in. Cavity in her chest lining and able to suck the middle breast in, holding a breath. And you'll notice during most scenes, she is holding a breath for up to 15 minutes. Take something no other actor could do.
The thing about Lansbury was, of course, she was able to breathe through her ears, John. And in times when the ears were blocked, maybe in times of if there was wax there or some sort of impediment, she could actually breathe through the mouth that doesn't speak, John.
I did that. Oh, here we go.
Hit the metal. He's hitting the metal. This is what they come for.
Oh, of course it is.
This is what they come for. The metal, the fucking stories, that the joy of
Lansbury stories, man. Great. We used to do a pod, John, just about Angela Lansbury, John.
That'd be a cheat for a lot of people. To listen to two men for about 6 hours talking about Angela Lansbury's third tip is probably something a lot of people.
Help my bum, John. I'd love to listen to that.
Pay a lot of money for, you know, the idea of finding out the true showbiz secrets. You know, that and Leonard Pierce from Only Fools and Horses having 12 balls. Is something that people come for.
Yeah.
And they stay for it. Yeah. They stay for it, you know.
Yeah.
Well, that's a treat. Leonard Pierce firing his own balls out of his dick eye by holding his breath and pushing really hard on the set of Only Fools and Horses. Entertaining Trigger, played by Roger Lloyd-Pack.
With no testicles in there, Del Boy.
Bloody hell, Rodney.
Bloody hell. Well, I didn't get those bloody testicles out of here.
All right, Del. Memories.
Still
haven't seen the Jolly Boys outing, and doubt I ever will.
Have you never seen it?
Never seen it. Should watch it at some point, but it's been over 30 years now. I don't think I'm going to get around to buying a copy on VHS.
I got it, yeah.
On VHS?
Yeah.
No, oh, send it over in a post. I haven't got a video player. Fuck.
Oh, okay. Well, I got on DVD as well.
Oh, bollocks. Well, just give me a rundown of what happens in the style of a German.
Yeah, they go to the singers, John, and the Jolly Boys outing. So Derek Trotter, a.k.a. Del Boy, and his brother Rodney, half-brother, but alluded to the fact that they have different fathers, but of course, always reversed him simply as his brother. And a group of friends from the Nags Head go on what they would call in the old days, John, a Jolly Boy. So, a Jolly Boys outing. This is where people from the working classes in London and other big cities would go to the sea, predominantly to the seaside. And in the east end of London, of course, John, they would make the trip to Margate on the east coast.
Margate.
They come the bus with a driver. Of course, they stop in that pub on the way, which, interestingly, John, is now no longer with us. The pub has been demolished, of course, in the days of the Charlemagne tour and the Jolly Boys outing. These pubs, these way stations between places were very popular with the advent of high-speed rail, brain travel, John, and visit the motorways, and more importantly, with cheap package holidays to the continent. Then these sort of pubs, sort of, they. And... We step into pub on the way, and of course they hilariously get the bus driver extremely drunk, very, very drunk, and he can no longer drive the bus. So their friend Denzel is persuaded to drive the bus to Margate. Denzel drives the bus to Margate. Everything's going swimmingly, of course. But I believe that there was a problem with the tape deck. I'm not quite sure whether Vidal Boy bought the tape deck for the bus. I can't remember exactly, John, but I remember that the bus catches fire. So they have to stay in Margate, all the boys, of course, because there's a rush for rooms. It's very strange, John. Very much a double narrative in this episode, almost as if the writer was tripping John Sullivan. Because what happens, John, is then they try to find a guest house for the evening, and it is they think it's maybe haunted by the woman who owns the guest house. Very much two comedies in one, John, because I always thought that the guest house scene was somehow jarring with the main thrust of the Jolly Boys outing. But of course, when one looks at the Jolly Boys outing now, through hindsight, John, what one is overcome is a wonderful sense of nostalgia, John. And if I'm very, very honest with you, I cannot watch it when they are laughing and joking and having a gay old time in the fairground at Margate of a simpler time, John.
No, of
reminds
course.
Me very much of a simpler time. And of course, when one is reminded of the times when one would go to the fairground with one's friends, maybe save up one's meager wages to go there once a year. And of course, the only other sort of release, John, for the working person at that time or their families was, of course, the moving picture house or the cinema.
Of course.
And this was where people like Johnny Weissmuller became very, very big stars because there was no television, John. There was no television. There was very limited radio output. But one could go to the talking movies on a Saturday afternoon, usually, and see the stars on the silver screen like Johnny Weissmuller. And I remember once Johnny Weissmuller said to me, which was Tarzan for I cannot believe my luck. And he very much found himself as a recipient of luck and of good fortune. And he never saw himself as a star, John. This was the thing about Weissmuller. He always saw the audience as the star. Because that maybe comes with an athletic background, tremendous physique, a good-looking man, a good swimmer, Olympic athlete. He always thought that he had lived a charmed life and that the real stars were the audience, John. And this was incredibly humble, wonderful company. And this, John, this was the genius of Weissmuller.
Weissmuller, he was a fucking genius. You know, in 1928, they had a power cut in New York. Weissmuller was surrounded. 28,000 fans came out to Times Square to see him. He stood up on the fucking podium. The lights went out. The people panicked. There was babies screaming, women shitting themselves, and men wanking in the bushes. And you know what Weissmuller did? He thought on his fucking feet. You know what he did? He sent somebody out to beat BT's, the model shop. He got some glow-in-the-dark paint. He painted his dick in glow-in-the-dark paint, charged it up under a battery-powered lamp, and guided the people of New York to the fucking Bronx.
Forget about it. The guy was all about solutions. Okay, the guy never saw a problem in his goddamn life.
Never had a problem in his life. He used a glow-in-the-dark dick to guide 28,000 people across New York into the Bronx. He invited them all into his fucking home. He baked them two cakes, made 28,000 portions of beans on toast, and sat there making them all fart and breathing it in and telling them it was a fucking joy. Because those people are the people that made him. And every time he farted and a piece of shit came out, he put it on the wall and say, that's another fact. fan, I remember. Do, you piece of shit. And on one occasion when he had a piece of sweet corn in it, he said, that's the biggest fan I ever had in my life. And he kissed it, sucked it back in, redigested it, and did that every day for 28 fucking years until his fucking colon gave away and he was shitting out of a plastic bag. That son of a bitch. He might have died in a wheelchair, but at least he died on his fucking feet. Get the chicken, Rocky. Get the fucking chicken, Rocky. Get the fucking chicken, Rocky. Get some chicken, Rocky. Get some fucking chicken, you son of a bitch, Rocky.
Eat thunder and crap lightning.
Fuck this podcast. Oh, God.
I remember the time, of course, when Burgess Meredith, of course, of Rocky fame. I asked Burgess, what was the secret of his success? Because it was a wonderful long career. It started with things like Army Formation films in the Second World War for American GIs, and all the way through to various films. Very great character actor, of course. And probably best known by the younger generation as Mickey, the trainer in the Rocky franchise.
Well, of course, naturally.
And I remember saying once to Burgess, asking him what the secret of success was. And he said, I'll tell you what I told the young Spencer Tracy. I said, I was absolutely intrigued, of course, because Spencer Tracy, one of my favorite actors. He said, the young Spencer came into my trailer during the Second World War and asked me the same question. He said, Burgess, he said, what is the secret of your tremendous success? He said, and what Burgess said then, he said, I can remember it like it was yesterday. He says to me, I spent to Tracy, and I'm saying to you now, he says, I put two fingers up my ass as far as he can go, and I wave them on Spencer Tracy's nose, and I said to him, that, you son of a bitch, is the smell of success. And that, visceral.
Two decades later, I go to an auction. I see those same fingernails up for auction, $28,000 for each one. I remortgaged my own home. I sold my car. I took those fingernails for $52,000. I put them on my bedroom wall, and every night before I go to sleep, I smell it. And I smell the smell of success. Tomorrow they evict me for not paying my bills, but I'll take those fingernails with me to the depths of hell and back again.
Hit the metal. Hit the fucking metal. Oh, God. Adam.
Yeah.
Adam.
You dirty young man.
Oh, for Christ's sake. Oh. It's the same again. I got rid of a bell. I got a piece of fucking metal. And it still doesn't fucking work. The same shit in a different order, but sometimes different shit in no order at all. I can't take it anymore. It's fucking destroying me.
Adult, hold on, adult. Maybe just a couple more episodes. It might get better, adult. Think of it like BBC Two, adult. People didn't like it at first, but when it went into colour, they all started to enjoy. This was never got a fucking colour. It all ends up in the fucking bin. That's a fucking travesty. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. We can look out the same shit. Some people pay for this.
I know they do, Adam.
Find out from the hip operation.
I kind of
like. Cracking repetition, Grummy.
Oh, God.
Ready to break up the man with an orange glow around him. Putting glue on your hands in school, pretending it was your skin coming off.
Micro memories. Sister-in-law used to watch the public information film that said, get out, get the fire brigade out and stay out. And she always wondered why the fire brigade were in your house in the first place.
Watching TV with your sister.
My sister. Again.
Watching TV with my own sister. Oh, fair enough. No matter what it was, whenever somebody got shot, she'd turn to you and say, is he dead?
Micro memories. Remembering when I was a kid. If I was watching television with my sister at the night time, and it was in daylight,
I thought they filmed it in Australia.
I used to watch the adverts. Specifically the adverts for toys. Specifically the adverts for toys. And I used to think every time the kids do the adverts, they had to leave their home, go into the TV studio and do the advert over again. And I thought that was a nightmare. But I remember thinking the kids who did the Star Wars adverts had a good deal because they got to keep all the Star Wars toys. But fuck the girls' toys, that was shit.
This out, Luke. Use the force. Ah, ready, break. Now, there's a serial I've not heard of in a long time. A very long time.
Oh, free gifts in cereal. That was a good one. That's something to talk about. Fills up a bit of time. Yeah. Sweating a bit.
Breath, you?
Been here for an hour and 20 minutes. I've been here for an hour and 20 minutes.
You fucking love.
Have you had any dinner?
Do you what?
Have you had any dinner tonight?
I made some pasta and some pesto.
I'll have something to eat in a bit.
Because first I won't be able to cook for about 2 months.
Is the kitchen all working now?
No, none of it's working. I had to buy an electric hob. I had to buy a little plug-in electric hob, like a camping hob. Jesus.
Student life.
Yeah.
That's it. You can do hot knives off of that, though. Get a load of hash.
No, that's amazing. That'll keep the kids entertained.
Far out, Dad. Come in, man.
Yeah, man. I'm loving life.
Come in, man. We were just freaking out in a moonlight daydream, Dad. Put the Barry album on, Dad. We're all going to look at the rug for the next 15 minutes, man. These beans on toast are really far out, bruv. Ben, what are you doing?
I love it out of my tree.
We're just trying these new hot knives before we do our homework tonight, Dad. Really tricky.
You said love it. Younger version of the blog I've stepped out and said.
I've just got this new caftan, man.
Son.
Really soft fabric, man. Really super chilled out. Come in. We're all going to have a bath together and meditate later on.
Right. You did a sketch now where he's in the room with his dad and his granddad. Go on.
Adult, come down, you beans on toast, Eddie. Oh, Christ, I've been waiting half an hour for this. Jesus Christ, God. Come in, Dad. We're all just tripping to the new David Bowie album, man. Some far out shit, man. We're all just freaking out of the moon, guys. Oh, for Christ's sake, Adel, he's been like this for 45 minutes. He came in with some of that Moroccan ash he picked up in the market, and he hasn't been the same since. You fucking idiot. I told you not to get him on the fucking ash. You know what he's like? He starts freaking out and playing Time Bone records for like 45 minutes. Chill your bones, Dad. It's super cool. We was all going to have some milkshakes. I'll just chill out with the latest David Bowie. Maybe a bit of Pink Floyd will chill your bones, Dad. Oh, you fucking Pink Floyd. I can't take it anymore. What's wrong with a bit of Stravinsky or something? Cultures. He melded all the coffee of records and made a bug out of them. Oh, you fucking belly. Do you fucking punch your balls in if it wasn't my own son? Dad, this weed smells a bit funny. That's because you're smoking fucking shit in your fucking belly. I told him he wouldn't get in my head. He insisted on putting a load of Hercules shit in your bones. Far out, man. I've really tripping balls.
Now on TV One. Leave me that one.
Stop doing Sun and Sun.
Stop doing Sun and Sun.
Oh, God. Hurry up, Dad. I've just made this wacky new hash bread, man. Completely self-sustaining in the back garden. I've grown my own wheat. I've made my own dough and I've made this fall out hash bread, man. Oh, fucking hell! You put some fucking old
shit until I saw the footage you're going for. He was 98 years old. He ended up in a fucking hospital. No telepag. Oh, I can't breathe.
Oh, God.
I can't breathe. Oh, God.
Fucking travesty. I'll tell you what, the one who does the drawings.
Oh, great lad. The one who does the drawings, yes. He's got a bit of content.
11-year-old stepped up and said to someone.
It's something to do, isn't it? Yeah. Fills up the day a bit.
The day of it.
Oh, yeah. God. Oh, yeah. Jesus.
Well, I feel like I've done a bit now, haven't I? Sure.
Yeah, I mean, you've done a 20. You've done a 20, so I feel we can
wrap it up. I've been on 30 minutes, but most of that's been laughing at you. That's about 4 or 5 minutes, haven't I?
That's fine. I mean, there's over an hour on that one. I mean, most of it
it's
is
a free one.
It's a free one as well. So
brilliant then.
Let's just pitch the t-shirts again before we go.
Right.
Just
to I'll tell you what, then, if you don't pay for this fucking clag,
yeah,
I don't blame you for 1 second.
Yeah, horseshit.
That's a horseshit. But at least if you bought one of the my wonderful boys t-shirts,
yeah,
we might get the money back from the money we lost on the t-shirts that no one bought.
Yeah, that's true.
Why not for Christmas? Buy my boys, my wonderful boys for your loved one.
Yeah, there you go.
Or yourself.
Yeah, perfect.
And then just because you feel nice, buy one of the other ones, the shit ones, the producer Reese made.
Yeah.
And do the housework in or something.
Yeah, perfect. And that's the best we can do, Mike. That's the best we can do, I think. You know, we've put the effort in there, so.
Yeah.
Should we just end with a Thames Television ident? I think that's a nice way to go out on it.
Yeah, okay. You ready? Okay.
Yeah, go on.
Boom, 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 boom.
Perfect. I'll stop it.
Demon Seed. You must be mistaken.
It's now, it's here.
Come on down here and help with it.
Demon Seed.
Paranormal existence.
You mean to say you came here purposely?
The first move in the great conspiracy had been made.